T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
It's a new week.
Hi.
Happy Monday.
Yes, it's Monday and we are here. We are queer. Well, Shira, I think you're officially queer now.
What?
I think you're officially queer now.
Am I?
I mean, I don't know what you are, to be honest.
Exactly.
You're just a
I don't
mess.
Know what I am either.
But,
can
you know,
someone help?
Welcome back to Let's Go There.
We catch you up on the day's news, including our crazy lives and so much more. So stay tuned for a wild ride.
Yes, actually, I have a story.
Oh, yes.
So this weekend, I was hanging out with friends. Yesterday, specifically, I went out to brunch. And I then went to a crystal store, which was like, you know, random, like also very LA, because I needed more incense. And guess,
<Of course. laughs>
and when I walked in, noticed this random guy like in the corner playing these like little bongo things. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait, he looks so familiar. And I couldn't tell because he didn't have a haircut. He had sunglasses on. It was like a whole thing. And then afterwards, so basically I'm with a friend and we're like, you know, searching around, and then I'm talking to this random lady, who I then find out is this star's wife, and she's like telling me to get like some cinnamon incense, which is my favorite. If you don't have it, you should get some.
Okay.
Delicious.
I thought you'd get me a little present, maybe.
I mean, no, I'm sorry.
Can I just have one stick?
So guess who this random guy was when he took off his sunglasses?
Who?
If I say Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, Chadwick Boseman was in this crystal shop in the middle of Los Feliz.
Did you freak out?
No, because here's the thing. It took everything within me to be like, Wakanda Forever.
Oh my God, but he said he doesn't like that anymore.
I know, and so I refuse to ruin his lovely day, especially, and I just pretended like I had never knew him, like, because we had made eye contact, and I was just like, oh, great, he knows the one black person in here probably knows who he is. Yes. And so I'm like, I'm not going to do it. And then I started talking to his wife, and his wife was really sweet. And then I was just like, okay, we got to get out of here. And so me and my friend left, and I was like, that was Black Panther. I'm freaking out. My Marvel dreams just came true.
Is he as hot in person?
He is cute. He didn't have a haircut or anything. You could tell he was like very like on vacationing or like just at home on a Sunday, not put together. Like, he's very that.
Wow, high standards.
But no, it was very interesting to kind of see him in this, like, it looked like he was very connected to that scene, like when it comes to crystals and the whole, they were looking at tarot cards.
It's my scene, Ryan. You got to join my scene.
I mean, it very was like, did I teleport to Venice and like, what is going on? But it actually was very, you know, beautiful and nice to see a celebrity in that way.
This is the second weekend in a row you've bumped into a huge celebrity.
I don't know.
What is going on?
I think I'm in the cards. It's telling me I'm up next to be a huge celebrity. I think that's what it's telling me.
Or you should be booking more of those celebrities on our show.
I mean, no. That means I would have to talk to them. Like, not at all.
I just think it's fun. Well, thank you for the story. That's
no, it was a huge moment. It's a big deal.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I didn't meet any celebrities. I just encountered a lot of different men and other people.
Sure, is that the brand that you're going to go with? I mean, you are a single lady, so you are allowed to indulge.
I am.
Yeah.
You know, I am enjoying my single life because I know at a certain point I'm going to have a baby. And it's
I thought you were going to be like, a certain point, I'm going to be old.
Yeah, that too. Well, I'm going to be one of those old women.
Hot moms.
MILFs. Anyway. So I had an exciting weekend too. Thanks for asking. All right, let's get into so what's trending in the news right now, top of the hour.
Yes, okay, so RuPaul must have watched season 2 of GLOW because it was announced at DragCon in New York City this weekend that, girl, Drag Race girls will be following the footsteps of the gorgeous ladies of wrestling with their own Las Vegas residency.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's
so exciting. It's pretty huge. So RuPaul's Drag Race Live will launch at the Flamingo Las Vegas, which we've stayed there before, in January 2020, directed by Jamal Sims.
Wow.
The live show will be the most sickening extravaganza in Las Vegas history, according to a press release. So the event will encourage audience participation, packed with outrageous comedy, eye-popping fashions, over-the-top singing, dancing, heartwarming moments, plus twists and turns that will leave the audience gagging for more. So
yeah, this is huge. Once you get to Vegas, this is where the big money is.
I mean, but here's the thing.
RuPaul is killing it.
I mean, but RuPaul is now international because, you know, Drag Race UK is coming up.
It's amazing.
They're also going to be launching in Australia.
It's taking over
the world. Drag culture, which is beautiful. Like, fan favorites, Aquaria, Asia O'Hara, Coco Montrese, Naomi Smalls, Evie Oddly are all going to be making a guest appearance, and so many more queens. I mean, this is beautiful because queens are a staple in Vegas culture anyway. So it really is a huge moment.
Taking it to the next level.
Yeah.
What year did Drag Race start?
Drag Race. So no one ever talks about the first season because the quality of it was trash.
Yeah, but what year?
So no one really cares. Like, I think it was like 2004.
But that just shows how long it takes to build like a huge brand. You know what I mean? Like we all build things these days. We're like, oh yeah, and then when it hits Vegas, when it goes international, it takes a long time.
Yeah.
Reminder. So congrats again to that whole team.
It was actually the first episode to date was 2009.
Wow.
But it looked like it was 2004 quality because, girl, the cameras were trash.
All right, so that's good to know. Just, you know, for our show, we have ways to go.
I mean, for sure. We got a lot to do.
Let's move on to the next story. President Donald Trump, he's trashing former South Carolina governor and congressman Mark Sanford, who announced a bid for the Republican presidential nomination. And he brought up Sanford's extramarital affair, mocking his defeat in the 2018 midterm elections. He tweeted, when the former governor of the great state of South Carolina, Mark Sanford, was reported missing, only to say he was hiking on the Appalachian Trail, then was found in Argentina with his flaming dancer friends. It sounded like his political career was over. So he basically brought up all his like stuff and dragged him. But this is interesting because Sanford is the third Republican to say he would challenge Trump in 2020, tweeting Sunday that he would focus his platform on fiscal austerity, federal spending, and the need to address the nation's mounting debt. So I think we're going to see more of this, and Trump should hopefully be a bit scared, even though he has a huge ego, and I don't know if that's going to scare him at all.
Oh, we're talking about his huge ego later on in the show because he has been acting up.
So what do you think about all these Republican candidates coming up?
To be honest, I don't really care. I think, you know, Trump's fan base and his whole entire base when it comes to this political spectrum is so strong that no other Republican is going to beat him in either way. I'm interested to see and hear what these Republicans are standing for, because unless they are going to completely kind of call out Trump's rhetoric and what he's been doing and really bring back, you know, the true form of what conservatism and being a Republican means instead of this extreme Trump supporter, then I mean, who knows? Because if these people are running at this point, that means they've allowed Trump to do what he's done and hasn't really called him out unless there's a history of that. And so, I don't know. I don't really care.
Something we'll be tracking
for sure.
You don't care.
I mean, I care, but I don't care because that's not my side.
Well, now let's move on to Kamala Harris, who's actually apologizing to Donald Trump. That's coming up next on What's Trending in the News and What She Said.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Now, Senator Kamala Harris, who's, as we all know, a 2020 Democratic presidential candidate, she's on the road,
yes.
She's campaigning. She apologized Saturday for laughing and saying, well said, in response to a man who described President Donald Trump's actions as mentally, and then the R word. We're not going to say it here, but you can hear it in the clip.
What happened to people of color? So I don't buy that argument that impeachment does not make sense, Senate will acquit. I don't buy that argument. There needs to be accountability. I mean, what are you going to do in the next 1 year to diminish the mentally retarded action of this guy?
Well said. Well said.
Now, the exchange took place at a Friday town hall in New Hampshire. A man identified himself as being from Chennai, India, and he said somehow a racist bigot gets into the White House, and then he says, if you're not my color, you need to go back to your own country, and then he added this. So a lot of people said that she was referencing well said to that original first part of the comment.
Well, it actually...
And it was so loud and everything.
The clip that we just played, of course, you hear him clearly say, you know, mentally R word, and she kind of laughs and she's like, well said. My only thing with this entire issue is, you know, multiple candidates have had, especially out of the 2020 Democratic presidential candidates, they have had a lot of gaffes and they have had a lot of moments where they slipped up, specifically Joe Biden. And Joe Biden has had this moment where he's been able to really kind of come back from it. He still has a lot of support. He's still number one in the polls. So it's one of those things where it really kind of bothered me that, one, I think Senator, you know, Kamala Harris, she has to be present in those moments where she's not just handling every town hall the same, where she's just used to being asked questions and not, you know, she's not on her game. She's just used to kind of just, you know, being asked questions and having her answer.
Well, yeah, maybe because she wants to be in the moment, but also because of her prosecutor background.
Well, yeah, she's
very... She can trust herself in that moment as well.
Yeah, and I think this shows that she has to be able to hit a curveball. And this was a curveball that made her, she probably was like, oh my God, I didn't think about it like the way that she should have, and maybe she would have been able to say, you know what, this is not okay, you shouldn't say this, even though, you know, Donald Trump's actions have been terrible. And so I just hate that she had to apologize because she did not say that mentally R word. She didn't say it at all.
And also, once again, a lot of people are saying there was a lot of noise, even whether we hear it in the video or not. When you're there in person, there's a lot going on at these events.
Yeah.
And you're like,
there's a lot of distractions.
Yeah, there's a lot of distractions.
But she was looking, if you actually watch the video, she was actually looking at the guy and like, it seems like kind of paying attention. We went to a fundraiser event for her and she took, you know, questions from the audience and she was very present in that. And so it was very the same thing.
Well, she did tweet, when my staff played the video from my town hall yesterday, it was upsetting. I didn't hear the words the man used in that moment, but if I had, I would have stopped and corrected him. I'm sorry. That word and others like it aren't acceptable ever.
I don't know if I necessarily believe that she didn't hear. Because it was like dead clear. You watch the clip and she literally registers what he said and she laughs and she's like, well said. But my thing is, if she wanted, I think she should have just said, yes, I did laugh at it and, you know, In this type of moment, like, you know, Michelle Obama says, when they go low, you go high. And I think this could have been a prime example of her saying, you know, no, you know, I appreciate your passion, but I'm not going to condone that type of language.
Yeah, but I think if she would have literally heard that word in that context, maybe she would have said.
She did.
The video showed
that she did.
Well, she also told NBC News, I would never condone that kind of language being spoken by anybody about anybody. It is offensive. I've worked my entire career to do a number of things, including to ensure our disability community receives the dignity and the rights that they deserve. So once again, what's your take? You can let us know at We Are Channel Q.
Well, I just think, I honestly really feel like it really shows volumes how people really were like ready to kind of drag her in some ways. And it's like, yeah, we get it. You know, this is a gap. You know, this is a gap that she, you know, full out, she had to say that she didn't hear and she will never do it again and all these things. But I also feel like this is just not something that I would have wanted her to apologize for. Either way, I would have just been like, she could have just admitted that, yes, she heard it. And yes, she handled it wrong. And I should have, you know, said it in some other ways and then bought up her mental health, you know, plans that she's actually
set out.
But
then do you think that would
have been like,
because
she has policies.
But wouldn't that be like taking advantage of a gaffe to then promote yourself instead
of
just dealing with it?
You should. You're a presidential candidate. You need to prove to people that, guess what? Yes, this was a mistake, but I have a policy that I'm doing specifically for disabled people that need help in mental health varieties.
Yeah.
And this is a moment where she could have really uplifted that because she just released that mental health policy a couple of weeks ago. So this would have been, it would have been a great moment to flip the narrative and be like, you know what? Yeah, I messed up, but that shows everyone messes up, but here's the work that I'm
doing. Totally. It's so challenging because they are in the spotlight. This is a very stressful time.
Yeah.
They're ultimately going to make mistakes. If you think about how many times they're speaking in public
and traveling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're getting no sleep.
Yeah.
And so there needs to be something like a bigger story around like doing this campaign and like campaigning and the failure that might happen, which doesn't mean that they're a failure.
I mean, yeah, we have to really kind of get out of this idea of putting these candidates, especially because it's such a high sensitive climate politically, and we have to get out of that mind frame of holding people up on these pedestals and not allowing them to make mistakes, because guess what? It's going to happen, and I can't wait to actually later in the show have that conversation about failure.
Exactly. Well, that was somewhat trending in the news right now we're moving to top stories in pop culture and entertainment news. What's the tea?
Oh my God, honeys, we got so much coming up. Actually, so, you know, speaking of Donald Trump, mm-hmm. he just went in. He went on a tirade against John Legend and called Chrissy Teigen a lot of terrible things that ended up resulting in this amazing hashtag that was trending all day yesterday. We'll dive in, happening in 7 minutes. All right, so we're back with what's the TR Entertainment Pop Culture Stories of the Day. And this one, of course, has to do with, you know, politics intersecting with, you know, pop culture, of course. And Donald Trump, you know, you would think he would be a lot busier at nights, but instead he's doing nothing but watching news channels. And John Legend was on MSNBC. He basically appeared on the show to talk about criminal justice reform and also talk about his own kind of organization, his involvement with this organization, Free America, which, you know, he uses to set up and transform America's criminal justice system. Well, Trump did not like any of the things that John Legend had to say because, you know, Trump appeared to be very, very upset that he and his fellow Republicans were not given enough credit for helping to pass criminal justice reform, also known as the First Step Act, which basically Trump signed this act back in December 2018. And it was passed
with the help of Kim Kardashian.
Right. It was passed in both the House of Representatives and the Senate. And the act reduces mandatory minimum sentences in certain cases and will see more than 3,000 inmates released. Well, Trump feels like he deserves more credit for this. And of course, John Legend gave him none of it. And so Trump took to his Twitter, his favorite platform, to say this: when all of the people pushing so hard for criminal justice reform were unable to come even close to getting it done, they came to me as a group and asked for my help. I got it done with a group of senators and others who would never have gone for it. Obama couldn't even come close. But he said, and this is where it got bad. He said, but now that it's passed, people had virtually nothing to do with it are taking the praise. Guys like boring musician John Legend and his filthy mouth wife are talking now about how great it is, but I didn't see them around when we needed help getting it passed. And so,
it's like Trump has Mad Libs in his Twitter. You know, it's like, put an adjective, a mean adjective right before everyone's name.
Trump needs to know what the draft button is. Because he needs to type this stuff out, but never press send. He needs to just type it out, vent it, and just get it off of his chest and then put in the drafts thing. Well, Chrissy Teigen, of course, you know, she loves to respond to some messiness. Mm-hmm. And she did this in a way in referencing her daughter. She said, hey, Luna, remember the night before your first day of school when mommy was making your sign and this... And it's like really bad. it's words that I can't say on the air. I think I could say the last two words. Can I say ass? It's like P, which is a reference to a woman's genital area
down there.
Ass. Can I say bitch? I just said it.
You just did.
Ass bitch president had his ninth meltdown of the day, and so basically. She said, the absolute best part of his tweet is, I literally didn't speak in the special, nor was I mentioned. I'm cackling at the pointless addition of me because he cannot be a B word. And so,
no, you just said that.
Then, right, I know I just said it. I just feel uncomfortable. So Chrissy then started a campaign to get President P ass bitch trending on Twitter, which Twitter didn't know what to do because they were like, wait, we can't really trend this. So they trended PAB, like the initials to everything. And Trump, you know, responded to, you know, basically... John responded to Trump's remarks saying, imagine being president of a whole country and spending your Sunday night hate watching MSNBC, hoping somebody, anybody will praise you. Melania, please praise this man. He needs you. Your country needs you, Melania.
When do you think the last time Trump had any action? I mean, like,
here's
this
the
is
thing.
Like one ball of like repressed.
I'm just really sad that we are living in this timeline. Like, this is like some like twisted weirdness that the fact that Trump is you know, attacking two celebrities and then saying something about someone's wife in that way, who wasn't even involved in the initial conversation, is very weird.
We're like in a never-ending Mean Girls. Like,
yeah.
Like Mean Girls and what's the other one where things keep on happening over and over again?
Yeah.
That movie came together.
Well, of course, it wasn't the first time that President Trump lashed out at, you know, John Legend and Chrissy Teigen for not giving him enough credit for his criminal justice reforms. I'm pretty sure it won't be the last, but we have more coming up. And what's the tea? Of course, we're going to tell you how you can win a trip to Vegas for the Life is Beautiful Festival. And, of course, Felicity Huffman is basically saying that she was worried that she would be a bad mother if she didn't participate in that whole admission scandal. So we're diving into that. I'm spilling the tea, so honey, get ready.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
All right, so here, hello, we're back with What's the Tea, our entertainment pop culture stories of the day. And real quick, so Channel Q has the summer party for you, and it is in Vegas during the Life is Beautiful Music and Arts Festival happening September 20th through the 22nd in downtown Las Vegas. So we're basically giving away five trips to Vegas for this festival. And of course, your faves like Billie Eilish, Janelle Monáe, Post Malone, and so many more will be there. And we're putting you up at the Planet Hollywood Hotel and Casino, giving you 2 3-day passes to the Life is Beautiful Festival and access to Channel Q's Sunday Funday rooftop pool party,
yeah,
honey, with some very surprising performers. So you got to get into that. Head over to wearechannelq.com for all you need to know and register, because like I said, we're giving away five trips. That means you have all of these chances.
Nice.
Now let's get into What's the Tea, our entertainment pop culture stories of the day.
It continues.
Because I have not, I don't even think we talked about this, you know, Shira, like recently.
What?
You know, the whole Felicity Huffman situation, this college scandal thing
continues.
Going on. Well, you know, Felicity Huffman, basically as a part of her sentencing memorandum that was filed on Friday, she wrote a letter to the judge explaining why she even got involved in this whole admission scam, as well as her regret and utter shame for participating in the scheme. She basically claims that her desperation to be a good mother was what prompted her to get involved in this whole college bribery scandal. So here's a little piece of the letter. She, I can't. She said, you know, in this, you know, in my desperation to be a good mother, I talked myself into believing that all I was doing was giving my daughter a fair shot. Who both of her daughters actually have, they've been diagnosed with learning disabilities, apparently. And so she said, I see the irony in that statement now, because what I have done is the opposite of fair. I have broken the law, deceived the educational community, betrayed my daughter, and failed my family. And so her daughter, Sophia, in Georgia, Sophia's 19, Georgia's 17, and she was looking for advice everywhere, apparently, you know. She was basically saying that, you know, Sophia was had these learning disabilities, so did Georgia, and she just really wanted them to have a fair shot. And when she met Rick Singer, she felt like his... she felt like he was the one to really help her daughter to get in.
It was a quick fix, it seemed.
Unfortunately, you know, the actress is actually, she's sentenced to 1 month in federal prison, a 12-month probationary period, and she's fined, she's going to be fined $20,000. So here's the thing. I'm actually really upset by this whole entire kind of phrasing where she's like, I just wanted, you know, I was so desperate to be a good mother that I really decided to break the law. When we've seen systematically that there have been, you know, not too long ago, there was a black mother who literally was living in her car homeless, and she decided to use a random address in that where she, you know, her car was placed to get her child to have a better school system. And she was sentenced to 5 years versus, you know, Felicity Huffman's 1 month that she's saying is way too much. And it just really shows how problematic it is, and the fact that this is not a good excuse to say that you were so desperate that you would lie and cheat. Like, girl, being a mom is hard. We get it. But that's not an excuse.
Yeah, it seems like in terms of something like this, they want to validate. She already has said she's wrong, she was guilty, but it's like you want to share anything to make yourself feel better about something like this, or to make people like, oh, I get it, I'm there with you.
And on top of that, she got her, you know, Desperate Housewife co-star, Eva Longoria, she actually wrote a letter supporting Felicity Huffman to the judge, and she actually revealed some juicy drama that I can't really get into, but maybe you can head over to our website.
No.
She revealed, Eva revealed that Felicity Huffman actually saved her from being bullied on set by one of their co-stars. And it was like this opened up this whole kind of drama thing even more outside of this like whole entire situation. So like I said, there's more to this story. Of course, head over to our website where we're always spilling the tea at wearechannelq.com. Hopefully Felicity Huffman, you know, I think she deserves a little bit more time for scamming her way in. She needs to be held to an example.
I mean, she was already getting left let go easily, but then this officially does.
And we still don't even know what Lori Loughlin is, you know, her sentencing or anything. She's still going through the dramatics of saying, you know, I'm not guilty. I don't know what you're talking about. So either way, like I said, head over to our website, wearechannelq.com, and make sure to keep us favorited on that radio.com app.
Get it together, Hollywood. All right. Well, now coming up, many are evacuating the Bahamas, as we all know, after Hurricane Dorian devastated the island. But one ferry pushed victims away who didn't have a U.S. visa. That story after this on What's Trending in the News.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
All right, so guys, Channel Q has a summer party for you, and it's in Vegas, honey. We're giving away 5 trips to Las Vegas for the Life is Beautiful Music Festival, plus access to Life is Beautiful Pool Party Series hosted at the Downtown Grand Hotel and Casino. All you got to do is head over to We Are Channel Q to register to win. So the festival is happening September 20th through the 22nd in downtown Las Vegas. It's featuring some of our favorite Q artists like Billie Eilish, Post Malone, Carly Rae Jepsen, Griffin, and so many more. So let's get this straight. Here's what you got to do. We're putting you up at the Planet Hollywood Hotel and Casino for the weekend. We're giving you 2 3-day passes to the Life is Beautiful Festival, plus access to the Channel Q's Sunday Fun Day pool party with performances by Shaloo, Phantoms, and Felix Cartel. Now, that is the way to end a summer on blast. Just head over to We Are Channel Q to register to win. It's just that easy, honey.
Okay, let's...
Now it's time to get into What's Trending, top of the hour news.
Yes, let's get into it right now, right here on Channel Q. Now, Alejandra Barrera is free. Barrera, a 44-year-old transgender refugee, was released on parole Friday after spending 21 months in an ICE facility. Now, she came to the U.S. in 2017 to escape violence and persecution in El Salvador, where she was beaten, extorted, sexually assaulted by members of a local gang. So she turned herself in at the border along with a niece who fled with her, and they both hope to get asylum. Now, Barrera's niece successfully lobbied for an asylum claim, but in November of 2017, Barrera was taken to a detention facility in Milan, New Mexico, the only ICE detention center in the U.S. with housing specifically for trans immigrants. Her release was a result of a months-long campaign by nonprofit organizations and federal lawmakers. Now, in August, 34 members of Congress sent a letter to ICE calling on to the department to seriously consider the asylum claims of transgender migrants who demonstrate a well-founded fear of persecution based on their membership in a particular social class and adhere to its own policies regulating the treatment of transgender detainees. The fight isn't over, though, because even though she's not part of this ICE facility anymore, she's not there, she's still to be granted asylum in the U.S. or face deportation back to El Salvador. And she's one of many who experiences this, which is why we think we need to discuss these stories and continue to fight for their rights as they try to gain freedom here in the U.S.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Hurricane Dorian, which has devastated the Bahamas. Thousands of people have been evacuating to Florida through cruise ships and ferries. A ferry leaving yesterday was told that anyone with a U.S. visa or without it could not travel, according to this journalist, Brian Enten. So normally citizens of the Bahamas can travel to the U.S. with a passport and a clean police record, but it seems like that's not the case. And so a lot of people are talking about this because they just think it's really cruel. Beto O'Rourke tweeted, "This is the height of cruelty, denying help to those who need it most. This administration has said the words of the Statue of Liberty should be rewritten, and in their actions, they are already changing who we are as a country. It's on us to prove we're better than this.
Yeah, this is extremely sad because the Bahamas obviously just went through Hurricane Dorian. I believe it's called. And so it's very sad that they are trying to seek help and they are not able to leave because of this whole visa situation. And Trump is all about these borders and only basically allowing people that look like him to be in this country. And that's what is so sad. And this administration is slowly changing these rules. And it's sad. And it is the highest form of cruelty, in my opinion.
Also, you can imagine if you're leaving your home so quickly in such like an urgent mode. One, you might not have your visa. You might have lost it.
Yeah.
You could be in the middle of registering for it again. You never know.
It's like, what are they supposed
people.
To go back to?
Yeah.
So what are you telling them to go back to? If you're telling them they can't come over, what are you telling them to go back to?
And what if they lost it? What if their home just was destroyed and they lost the visa?
Yeah.
So it's not leaving them a lot of choice. And it's just a really interesting way to deal with victims of something horrible. Let's move on to this story coming out of Brazil. This is interesting. A Brazilian YouTube star is distributing 14,000 LGBTQ-themed books for free at Rio de Janeiro's International Book Fair in protest of the censorship efforts by the city's mayor. So the mayor, Marcelo Crivella, who's a conservative evangelical Christian, had attempted to pull the novel Avengers: The Children's Crusade from the Rio International Book Biennial because it prominently features a same-sex kiss, which he called inappropriate for children. So that happened. And then Felipe Neto, who's an actor and writer and is a YouTube star with 34 million subscribers, he basically bought all the copies of this book being sold at the festival, totaling about 14,000, and gave them out on Saturday to anyone who wanted one. And basically, it was a major move mocking the Crivella's initial order as mayor. And they also encased the book in a black plastic, and it had the note, "This book is inappropriate for backwards, outdated, and bigoted people." So it was a bit of a spin on things. But that's a great way to get back at the mayor. And, it's also sad that they need to deal with things like this. Among the titles also were Call Me By Your Name, Boy Erased, Southernmost, and Love, Simon. So those were other books that were canceled out. Now, that was what's trending in the news. Top of the hour right here on Let's Go There. Coming up, vaping isn't turning out to be the safe alternative to cigarettes as you once thought. The truth behind the dangers of vaping coming up right after this.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
It seems to become a nationwide epidemic. Vaping has caused severe lung injuries. Now, that has encompassed over 450 reported cases, at least 5 deaths in 33 states. I mean, this is something that needs to be looked at. And I think that now people are starting to look at vaping differently, but it's something that we really want to talk about because it seemed to have been something that everyone wanted to buy their vapes and use vapes for a bit.
It's
like an alternative to cigarettes.
Yeah, that's the exact thing. A lot of people feel like, it's not as bad. I'm not taking in as much nicotine, even though I feel like people do know that because those little bottles that you fill it, like you continue to fill up the little canisters of vape or whatever you're calling, like you call them, it's people know in some ways that like it's probably worse. I've always been a little iffy about kind of the electronic angle of everything. One, because with smoking and inhaling kind of like the chemicals from like how that kind of mini machine is made, always makes me a little like iffy about it.
It's the electronic part. But also, it's this liquid. It's like, what is this?
You don't know
liquid?
What the liquid is.
Body.
So it's interesting because I have tons of friends that do vape, and so it's sad because you want people to know why this is not okay.
Yeah.
Like in some ways, how dangerous it can be.
And now the CDC suggests people should avoid using e-cigarettes. So it's something we definitely wanted to talk about. We have Dr. Laura Crotty Alexander joining us right now, who's an associate professor of medicine, Division of Pulmonary Critical Care and Sleep at UCSD. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, happy to hear you.
Yeah.
Happy to be here.
Well, so tell us, why do you think vaping has become so common for a lot of people, but specifically underage people? And are you surprised by all the stuff only now coming out?
It is pretty impressive, their marketing campaign that they have used. I've been trolling the websites for years because I've been researching e-cigarettes, so their patterns of use and how people are using them across the world. And really, the companies who sell them, they're so savvy. They're really good at, you know, getting people to want to use them because they're cool, they're hip, they're sexy. And, you know, they give you a really good hit of nicotine being one of the primary drugs that people use to vape.
Yeah, and the different flavors also is like, oh, I'm not really having nicotine. It's just like flavored smoke.
It's so
interesting. Bubblegum and mint and
Brulee. And like with that, and you know, with the, like those enticing flavors, it does, and it has kind of gotten the attention of a lot of younger kids. So I remember growing up and seeing those commercials about you should not smoke cigarettes. They're terrible. They'll ruin your lives. And it's crazy because I just recently saw the same kind of commercial by the same company that does those, like no tobacco commercials. But now they're inserting vapes. And I'm like, wow. Yeah. So it has kind of gone into a different way of you're seeing it kind of, I don't know, just increase in different generations in some way.
Yes. It's like so circular because, you know, we had a whole huge generation hooked on nicotine from the cigarettes because they didn't know the deadliness of them. So half of the U.S. population was smoking cigarettes in the 1950s because we still hadn't figured out that they were bad for you. And then this whole young generation, they think smoking's gross. Like, a lot of them have no interest in smoking cigarettes. But we haven't been able to say the same thing about vaping because we've only been studying them for, like, less than a decade. So we don't know what's going to happen. And it's just so sad that so many young people, you know, are affected now and, you know, that five have died. And it's just hard.
Well, what happens exactly to the body? And like, you know, because it seems like it's causing death, lung damage. Why are certain products doing that and maybe certain products aren't?
Yeah, I think you just hit the nail on the head there. So I've personally been studying e-cigarettes since 2013, so like 6 years, and, you know, haven't really seen a huge signal for this acute, this sort of sudden lung injury, sudden pneumonias that are making people so sick. So it really does raise concern that there's some new chemical that's on the market that's, you know, being mixed in, or a different type of metal that's being used in the device that, you know, when it's heated up around those chemicals, like, it is very damaging to the lungs. So the FDA and the CDC, you know, they're racing to test all these liquids and try and figure out why this is happening, because it really did come up quite suddenly.
Yeah.
I'm a lung doctor, and I've seen, you know, a couple of cases over the last 6 years. But now it just, you know, it seems like everybody is seeing these cases. So it seems like maybe something is different right now.
Yeah. And I guess the interesting thing is, especially around my friend groups, a lot of them, they, you know, have stopped smoking the nicotine vapes and kind of going into the THC CBD vapes.
Yeah,
and because they're like, oh, it's not as bad. So, you know, about 80% of those patients that have used these products contain, you know, THC and the active ingredient in marijuana. So I'm guessing, is it worse when not smoking nicotine in these vapes, or is it, you know, is it easier or safer to smoke THC? Like, what is that? Because a lot of people feel like that's even an alternative to nicotine.
So actually, for the past year, I have been advising people not to vape THC, so not to vape any cannabinoids, so any of the drugs that, you know, come from marijuana, because that signal has been coming up strong over the past couple of years, that vaping this kind of marijuana chemical is somehow much more hard on your lungs and much more inflammatory, as opposed to smoking marijuana, which people have done forever, and it hasn't ever caused that much damage to the lungs. So yes, the number one takeaway point is, you know, definitely do not vape THC. That might be one of the driving forces behind this huge epidemic we're seeing. I'm still not, you know, none of us are sure, but you're right. You know, over 80% of the people who were really dramatically affected were using THC. It's possible that it's the combination, because most people were using it in combination with nicotine, but we really don't know. But that is the number one point I would say, is don't vape THC right now. Just don't. If you can, just not vape anything right now while we're trying to figure this out. That would be safest.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. You heard it from the doctor herself. Dr. Laura Crotty-Alexander, thanks so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course.
All right. Well, now coming up, we are talking about why you should stop avoiding failure for the sake of your mental health. Stay tuned.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
We're talking about failure, how to stop avoid like failure, and how it can affect your mental health. And I just failed at introducing that. Oh my God. Wow. Lesson learned. And you know what? I'm shaking it off.
Yeah. That's growth for you. That is growth for you.
Oh, I shake it off every single moment here, but that's for nothing.
Really, yeah. Yeah.
We've got Professor Agustin Fuentes joining us again, professor of anthropology at the University of Notre Dame, as we continue talking about this subject that really impacts us all. It's universal. To act like one of us hasn't gone through this would be, you know, I guess lying.
Welcome. Delusion?
Yeah, it'd be delusional, basically. So before the break, you were getting into the compassion and kindness that comes with that and how it's not necessarily just individual, but working as a team. Can you talk about that a bit more?
Yeah, so the way we should think about failure, right, is this individual failing, right? But we almost are never doing stuff just by ourselves. And so one of the ways we can deal with failure, not let it get to us, not fear it, is to help others, right? When we see others fail, when we can help other people out, get over failure, try again, get back into it, that creates not just this sort of a good space for people to do that, but it actually affects your brain and your body, right? Oh. So compassion to others helps them and helps yourself be a little bit better with dealing with adversity.
So wait, dive in. Let's hang there for a little bit. Let's talk about when you said it affects your brain and your body. What do you mean by that? Do you mean by anxiety? What does that really look like? Can you break that down?
So you think of this in a couple of ways. So your brain, everyone tells you, you old dogs can't learn new tricks. That's not true. Your brain is constantly sort of growing, building connections, losing connections, stuff like that. So as you repeatedly do things, right, as you do stuff and fail and then are penalized for it or suffer for it or get down on yourself for it, you develop pathways in your brain and in your body, your hormones, your stress hormones, cortisol and things like that, that respond to it. So you can actually train yourself to not be able to deal with failure. But if you sort of recognize that and don't fear about failure and reach out to others for help or get along with other folks, the sort of way your hormones work and the way your brain pathways will work will make you in a much better shape to deal with failure.
Yeah. And what if you're in an environment where you like maybe people won't go there with you and support you? What do you do?
Well, that's what's really hard. That way you've got to reach deep down and you've got to recognize that failure hurts. Failure can mess you up. But you have the capacity, right? We all, humans, have this capacity to persevere and to push forward. And so that's when you got to recognize that failure happens, that you can try again, or at least you should try again, even if you fail again. Because if you give up, if you stop trying, you train your mind and your body to be that way.
And I feel like there's like probably some of the top people that have created the biggest companies have talked about that too. As an anthropologist, have you looked into that in terms of like leadership and innovation?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you want the honest truth, most of those people, the top of companies who say like, this is how I got there through perseverance and all that, most of them come from elite contexts with lots of help and lots of infrastructure.
Thank you.
Right?
Thank you. I'm so happy you said that because I'm so annoyed when we talk about like these super high tech, like, you know, guys that are running these corporate companies and they're like, oh, I made it from the bottom of the barrel to the top of the barrel. But let's really talk about the systems in place that obviously have people starting at third base when other people are still sitting on the bus stop. So I think there's that plays a part in a lot of things. It's not just perseverance and all these things. We have to be realistic when kind of giving people advice on stuff like this.
Right. Context, history, structures matter. I mean, and there's a look at all of the majority of those entrepreneurs who are saying that. There are some characteristics that describe them and their identities that let us understand how maybe they were started on third base. But the thing is that when you're not that privileged, when you don't have all that, you still can try to build connections. You still can try to recognize that failure does not define you, right? Failure can be learned from and you can move forward. And so I'm not saying that everyone is equal and can just try to do it. But at the same time, you got to recognize that failure isn't the end. It's just the beginning.
So to wrap this up, one final question. Is failure something that you should welcome?
Failure is something that's going to happen. So how you see it, whether you welcome it or hate it, as long as you deal with it and don't fear it, then you can move on to the next one.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for being here with us. I feel like it's like a little Monday motivation, some inspiration.
Ew.
Oh, my God. Well, Professor Agustin Fuentes, thanks for being here. Where can people find out more about your work?
You can follow me at AnthroFuentes on Twitter.
Oh.
Or you can email me at afuentes@nd.edu or afuentes.com.
Awesome.
Now, I'm happy we're probably going to put this on the website, so we'll put your information there just in case they didn't, like, you know. You know, things happen really quick. You can't just write it down.
No.
Yes,
thank you. Please don't. Have a great night. Thank you.
Okay, you too. Thanks. Bye. Bye-bye.
Now, you can listen to that interview as well as the entire episode. We post everything as a podcast on our website. We are channelq.com if you miss any of today's episode or the shows coming up this week or even last week. Now, coming up, what presidential candidate made an appearance at DragCon? Coming up on What's Trending in the News after this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, so who wants to go to Vegas?
I mean, you keep mentioning it. At this point, you're just teasing me.
I know, at this point. So we're giving away 5 trips to Vegas for the Life is Beautiful Music and Arts Festival. So head over to We Are Channel Q. It's happening September 20th through the 22nd. Like your fave artists like Billie Eilish, Post Malone, Janelle Monáe, and so many more. Literally, we're giving you 2 3-day passes. We're putting you up at the Planet Hollywood Hotel. And we're giving you access to the Channel Q Sunday Fun Day rooftop pool party. So just head over to We Are Channel Q to find out all the details and to register.
Okay, let's get into what's trending in the news right now. Top of the hour. There was an unexpected guest who was at this weekend's DragCon in New York City, presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren. That's actually a very smart move, don't you think?
Why?
I don't know, because she's supporting the community and it's a great place to do it.
Well, one of her prime kind of people that she consults is Ashley Marie Preston, who's a trans
activist. I always forget that. We mention it and then
she's
a part of, so smart.
She's always kind of been a part of... Not been a part of the community, but she's always been, had an ear to the community.
Well, she continued to pledge her commitment to the LGBTQ+ community and the rights that we all deserve. And if she was elected to the White House in 2020, this is what she had to say. We don't have the clip right now, but you can check it out on our social media. All right.
Say
so this
clip.
Is it. Yes. She goes, I'm in this fight for full LGBTQ+ equality. We've got a lot of work to do. Make sure everyone is free to be who they are and to love who they love. So once again, you can check that out on her Twitter. And she also focused on the attention of like the epidemic violence happening for many of the transgender community, particularly women of color across the U.S. She added, in 2019, at least 18 trans individuals have been killed, the vast majority of whom were Black trans women. She said, we need to call it out and we need to fight back. Everyone should be able to go to school, to work, to get health care, or just walk down the street without fear of discrimination or violence. Equal means equal, period. And that's what I'm fighting for. I'm honored to fight by your side.
That was a really good statement. I like that. She's always so wonderful. I really do appreciate how she is handling herself when it comes to this campaign.
Yeah, we've talked about other mistakes people have made on the campaign trail. Has she made that many big bloopers or anything?
I don't think on the campaign trail, but I mean, the one that continuously will follow her is the whole Pocahontas thing.
Oh,
where
yes.
She pretended like she was Native American.
Okay.
Just because she had like a small percentage after taking a
23andMe or something.
23andMe exams, yeah.
All right. Well, next up, right here on What's Trending the News, the Venice Film Festival has awarded Pakistani short film Darling the prestigious Orizonti Award for Best Short Film. And it stars a trans actress, Alina Khan, and it's set in Lahore, which is the capital of the Pakistani province of Punjab. And according to IMDb, the short tells a story of a dreamy trans girl who desperately tries to become a star and a naive young boy falls in love with her. The film was directed by Saim Sadiq and it marks Khan's acting debut, which is great. According to Pakistan's The Nation, the short Darling tackles the lack of transgender representation in the country's visual arts and is bound to engage with relationships that have been previously not been the subject of films in Pakistan. So Darling is the first Pakistani film to be screened at Venice and the first to win an award. So kind of an early Yaz Queen as well. That's
Yaz
really
Queen.
And that's some what's trending in the news. Top of the hour right here on Let's Go There. Coming up, we're getting into our question of the day. And what was the inspiration for this? Or you're going to tell people after this break,
yes,
right? Okay.
Yes.
Is the idea of wearing wedding bands outdated? Let us know what you think. You can give us a call to Sound Off right now. 833-77-CULL-Q. 833-772-2557.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, so we all know how I love a good Real Housewives, right? And last night, I was watching Real Housewives of Potomac.
Potomac?
And, yeah, so that's in Washington. It's kind of like in the Maryland kind of area, either way. And yeah, I knew that's who that was. And it was interesting because one of the housewives, she has been together with her partner, her husband, for, well, a very long time. They divorced, then they never moved out together, and now they're kind of rekindling their relationship. Mm-hmm. And so now everyone was asking them, like all the other housewives were like, well, when are you getting remarried? When's the wedding? When are you guys at least getting wedding bands? And because it was interesting while I was watching this, they ended up getting matching tattoos where they were like, oh, it's just in, but it wasn't even on, it was on the ring finger, but it was inside of the ring finger.
Oh, so that means if just in case anything happens, it's easy.
But it was like hiding it. So it was like two hearts. And so it was very interesting. And I was thinking about while watching this, I was like, wow, this could be an interesting question of the day where we ask you guys, which we have put out on social media at We Are Channel Q, is the idea of wearing wedding bands outdated?
Yeah, and you can also give us a call right now.
Yes.
833-77-CULL-Q, 833-772-2557 to let us know what you think.
Yeah, and we actually have someone on the line, Amir. What's up?
Hi.
What are your thoughts?
Hi, honey. How are you? It's Amir Yasai.
Hi.
Let's go.
Hi,
love. So I love this question because actually being Persian and Middle Eastern, a lot of Middle Eastern culture, they don't even do wedding bands sometimes.
Oh.
So I think that I personally think it depends on the culture sometimes. So I do think sometimes it can be a little outdated.
Interesting.
You don't even need it. Yeah. It depends on your relationship,
totally.
You know?
What is it about your culture that they do that? Like, why is there a meaning behind that to not actually have wedding rings?
Well, you're kind of sometimes in a, like, obviously more modern Persian couples, like Middle Eastern couples will do bands. But a lot of kind of like the more traditional ones sometimes won't because you're kind of fused by either the religious or cultural marriage. So you don't even need the band.
Mm.
And I also think personally for me, like a lot of people do the bands because of cheating. It's like if someone's going to cheat on you, they're going to cheat on you.
Good
right?
point.
Like
yes.
you say, you know, it's true. Yeah. You know what? I must say, like when I think someone's hot and I'm like, ooh, I would want a piece of that. I do look right away for the wedding ring. And I know other people do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Or the engagement ring.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
right.
I guess for a woman. And so I do think it at least helps.
Right.
Like it helps us know who's taken and who's not.
Well, thank you so much, Amir, for sorry,
because
we're getting other calls. I'm going to tell you my thoughts as well.
Go.
But Amir, thank you so much for calling.
Bye.
Oh my God.
Okay,
so here's
bye.
The thing about, I kind of actually agree with Amir. I do not like the idea of wedding bands. One, because rings are very tough to lose and are very easy to lose. I even thought if I was to ever get a ring, which I do want a ring, I would want it like kind of in a necklace form where it's like kind of dangling or something in some way.
Because
I wear necklaces more than I do rings.
I lose necklaces more than I do my rings. Like these rings that I have on, I do not take off. But it's also like, I feel like when you have a really expensive one, you'll lose it probably more easily.
And the idea of like, the idea of like, to see if someone's cheating is a very weird thing that I really want to dive into.
Yes.
Because that's also in some of our responses on social media. So we'll be right back. Don't y'all go anywhere. Our question of the day is the idea of wearing wedding bands outdated? Give us a call, 833-772-2557.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, our question of the day is the idea of wearing wedding bands outdated?
Mm.
And you can let us know what you think right now. A lot of people have many opinions about this topic.
They do.
833-772-2557 is our number. That's 833-77-CULL-Q.
Yeah, so I don't even like the look of wedding bands, to be honest. Especially for men.
The wedding rings.
For men, I think they're so trash. Like, one of the conversations in my last relationship when we were actually having those conversations was as wild to think about because, oh my God, like, bird's eye view. Either way, I always said, I feel like women always get the better, like, end of everything. Like, clothes and, like, rings. rings. Like, I'm like, I earned a rock. Like, I want people to go ice skating on this ring. I don't think
Well, you could be the one in your relationship that is the one that gets it.
No, but I think that's so annoying to have that kind of, like, the idea of, like, women can only get the diamonds. And, like, I don't want just a simple wedding band with diamonds in it. Like, that's just weird. And so I'd rather just not get them at all, or maybe get something that's, like, you know, a matching something. I don't know about, like, a tattoo wedding band, because you always have to get them redone.
Yeah, so I actually met someone over the weekend. This is why this is so serendipitous.
Yeah.
Who had a tattoo, because I have one on my left ring finger, which is actually the engagement finger.
Which I don't know why you put that
there. I got the heart. It was a rebellious move on my part. It was my, you know, instead of waiting for someone to give me a ring, I put my heart there, the heart tattoo, because it's my heart first.
That's anyway. Disgusting.
And then my parents think, like, oh, now you just need to get a bigger ring to cover it. but anyway, I met someone who actually did the tattoo as a ring, wedding ring.
Yeah.
And then they broke up. And he's like, I'm just still, like, dealing with it.
Yeah, because it's like, it turns green. Like, it turns like, because
well, you could always, they do have the process of, you know, taking it off, which, like,
that's
small enough.
But it's laser
treatment. But it's small enough that it will come off easily. But that's why I kind of like putting it under your wedding ring, because then that also comes off pretty quickly if you wash your hands. Like, any tattoo on your palm or somewhere where you, like, dry skin comes off a lot, it will fade.
So let's go to social media. We are Channel Q, where we asked you guys. Shell said, I think the cost of rings are outdated. There's no reason to put yourself in debt for a ring and further debt for a wedding to then say, let's start a life together in huge debt.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. But
do you want a big ring?
It's so weird, because this is the thing. I go back and forth between being, like, a rebel of sorts, or just being like, I don't want to get into that. But, or being practical about it. Like, I'm going to do it my own way, right? And being non-traditional. Yeah, but then at the same time, there are those societal pressures, like, when you don't get it, like, why? Or what did you, I don't know. But, you know, Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis never really did it. They got a ring on Etsy that was like $30 or something.
Well,
like,
but that works for them, because everyone knows they're super rich. Yeah. So it's like, it's a cute thing for them. I don't know. For me, I even go back and forth with the idea of marriage in general, because one, having to go through the government to sign these papers and then to be like, hey, this is my partner. And then two, then, like, if anything ever was to ever happen, you get a divorce, you have to go through more paperwork and more money. It just seems like, why can't I just say this is my life partner and we just have a ceremony and, like, a big ceremony at that. And then, like, we just, you know, kind of just love each other and just be with each other forever instead of having to go through, like, the whole government side of it. Like, that seems super, super annoying.
Yeah, there's a lot of annoying things about that. But let's go back to the idea of when you see someone with a ring, you don't maybe approach them because they're taken. And, like, the significance of that as well.
I don't think that's true. I know some people that are just as like, oh, so that's something that I shouldn't be able to get. Watch me get it. And that is dangerous. And honestly, and to think about, like, a ring being like, oh, my person won't cheat. First of all, that ring will come straight off, honey.
That's why you have to, like, staple it in your pocket. You have to, like, nail it in to the bone.
If you got
to
do that with your man, you probably shouldn't be with your man.
Or just handcuff your man to the bed or the house.
No, see, if you got to do any of that, y'all need to reevaluate your marriage. Paulette on social media says, I think if you decide to wear or not wear your wedding band, both people should be on the same page with that decision. Otherwise, resentment sets in.
Yeah, I feel like we say that now, Ryan, but say we fall in love with the person of our dreams, and then we're going to be like, yes, look at my wedding ring!
I mean, I know who I am. I already just said I would like to have a big ring, but will I wear it? I hope probably not. That's why I said put it in a necklace form, and I'll wear it that way.
Okay, good to know.
Cute, like diamonds around my neck. Come on. Just
start
saying.
Start the trend, Slay God.
Just saying.
We've got our Yas Queen of the Day after this. Don't go anywhere.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Time for our Yas Queen of the Day.
Yes, Queen.
We all love a good coming out story, don't we? And just acceptance of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this guy came out on Reddit. So this is a great story of how it all went down. This guy is 41 years old, and he had not experimented before, but he kind of shared his story on Reddit, and then it ended up leading to him just accepting himself and enjoying his sexuality. So this Reddit user who identifies himself as a 41-year-old male has never outwardly been attracted to guys. And then he had these series of posts where he describes this random guy that he met at a bar while playing darts, and they hit it off. He said that he continued to hang out with him, and it was just more as friends. And then he's like, it kind of feels like I'm falling in love with this guy. It feels so strange to type that out, but I think it's true. So then Reddit users were quick to share messages of encouragement, and then he had a follow-up to his original post and said that they ended up hanging out. They went in for a hug, and then he put a kiss on this guy, and he said it was like butterflies, and he couldn't believe that he's living his life for the first time at the age of 41, and basically realized, like, oh, he is gay, and it's amazing. And so it was just, like, so sweet, this story. We wanted to share it with everyone today. There's always a way to, you know, come to terms with who you are.
I don't think he automatically identified as being gay.
No, he didn't, which I found really fascinating as well.
Well, I mean, not even fascinating. I think it's just interesting. I think this is a prime example of what happens when you just sit back and you just allow, you know, people to be people and connection just to happen. It doesn't really matter what gender it is. So I think, you know, at the end of the day, this is just a beautiful story of two people getting to know each other. And sometimes that happens when, you know, soulmates come out of nowhere.
Yes. And I love how this guy shared on Reddit, where it is a very predominantly, like, very male audience. And I feel like for other men to see this who might be feeling the same way and not know what to do with their feelings or haven't opened themselves up to going there, it shows them that it's all possible. And there's, like, a lot of great excitement in life on the other side of it. So this person gets our Yaz Queen of the Day.
Yaz Queen.
And you can nominate someone for a Yaz Queen of the Day. You can hit us up on social media at We Are Channel Q. And that does it for today's show. Yes, Monday. We'll be back tomorrow with more. We're talking about Madonna, who seems to be the latest artist to jump on this no cell phone bandwagon. We're going to get into other artists who are doing this. And if you are willing to ditch your device at concerts, plus, and this is my favorite subject, are you allergic to Wi-Fi? How does that even work? And is it real?
I cannot believe we're doing this topic.
You know what? Because someone brought it up at a party. They said, I think you're allergic to Wi-Fi.
And that is, I'm not even shocked that a party that you were at, someone would bring
this
up. I'm
sure Chadwick Boseman would be into this subject as well.
You almost forgot his name, so you don't know.
I was going to say Chad.
Oh,
that's my nickname.
Like, you're friends with him?
That's on tomorrow's show. Let's go there. It's Shira and Ryan. 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Channel Q. Again, we post these as podcasts. So if you missed any of today's show or any of the other shows ever before or this week, just go to wearechannelq.com for that. We are sending you love and light.
And honey, remember to slay and stay away from Wi-Fi.
Have a great night. And Dr. Chris and Loveline is after this.
Bye, guys.